Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Wi-Fi Tribe podcast. I'm your host, Jordan. And today we have one of the best guests that we've had stop by here and probably one of the best guests that we'll ever get because he is amazing. So Jeff Baker joins me today. He is an SEO expert and digital marketer with more than 10 years of experience, which I didn't even know what digital marketing was 10 years ago. So he's been doing this since before probably a lot of us got into this space or knew anything about it. He's the chief marketing officer at the world's largest content marketing agency, Brafton.com. He's been published on Moz, featured in the Moz top 10 newsletters, and he owns the marketing podcast Above the Fold. He interviews industry leading experts, and I mean like top experts, like people who, you know, a lot of people don't have access to. So we're very fortunate to have him here. And what Jeff is about is he's on a mission to make SEO accessible and understandable for everybody. So he likes to teach the 5% of SEO that creates 95% of the results. It's kind of like his catchphrase. But we're not here to talk about SEO today. Well, we kind of are. But we're here to talk about launching your side hustle, especially at this time, and why now is the best time. Why always now you should launch your side hustle. And Jeff's launching a course to teach people this 95% of SEO or 5% SEO for 95% of the results. Sorry, it's a bit, it makes sense when you read it. He's been on several Wi-Fi Tribe chapters. He's a beloved member of the community. I've never met anybody that doesn't like him. He's involved in so many things and he really supports the whole community and helps people through teaching SEO and all these really valuable skills. He's hosted lots of Skillshares and done a panel with us. And really, he uses the feedback from these Skillshares to help build his course. So the course that he's building is going to be just probably one of the most useful things for anybody interested in SEO and making their content more visible and you know, better for small businesses, large businesses, or just people that want to get their content out there and be read. So yeah. Hopefully you take something away from this and learn and are able to use this info to launch your own side hustle or see why now might be the time for you to get out there and actually do the thing that's been at the back of your mind or the thing you've always wanted to do. And yeah, Jeff's an inspirational person and I hope you enjoy. All right, I'm here with the infamous Jeff Baker, and I'm just thrilled to be here with you, Jeff. I love any opportunity to speak to you, and it's an extra bonus when we get to talk about something that can hopefully help some people in their day-to-day lives. For anyone who knows Jeff, the SEO wizard, the just best person I've ever met when it comes to SEO and positioning your content. We're not going to talk about that today, which I think some people are going to be upset at or confused by, but we have something else we want to talk to you about and something that is kind of will feature SEO, but I think Jeff's the perfect person to talk about this given the situation right now. If you haven't noticed, we're in a bit of a kind of lockdown pandemic and things are kind of starting to open, but there's still some weird things going on. I just watched an episode of Dr. Phil where someone was getting scammed with a machine that would turn paper into money, apparently. And I can't believe
How does that happen? It turns paper into money.
What do you mean? It doesn't happen. And how do you get? But the person didn't believe that it wasn't happening, and it was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in my life. He was trying to show her that this paper was not turning into money, and she was like, "No. I saw the guy do it. You're wrong." And he would. Doing it and being like, no, this is not happening. Anyway, that's kind of in a nutshell how I felt during this pandemic where things just don't make sense and there's some strange things going on. So I'm excited to talk to you and bring some normalcy into my life at this moment. But yeah, for everyone out there, why don't you just give a little bit of a brief introduction? I kind of provided one for you, but I want to hear, I'm sure everyone would prefer to hear in your own words, what you do, how you got there. And what makes you so special?
That was like a wrestler introduction, man. I feel like Macho Man Randy Savage coming in. You hit me with a SEO wizard, one of the best people for SEO, all that kind of, and then you just dropped the ball. I didn't even, we're not talking about SEO today? I didn't know we weren't talking about SEO today. Sorry, but maybe I don't remember what we're talking about. Yeah, so backing up. Okay, so a little background on me. I'll give you like the 60-second version. So I am I'm a chief marketing officer for a marketing agency based out of Boston. Right. So I actually got my background doing digital marketing some 10 years ago, something like that, as an intern. And I kind of had a natural knack for online marketing, and specifically SEO and web analytics. I mean, the first time I opened up Google Analytics, it was like art to me. You know, I was just watching it. For most people, it's fucking painful. Sorry for the language. I don't know if you're going to edit that out later, but it's painful for most people. You're looking at massive amounts of numbers, and you're looking at a lot of technical things, and it makes them really uncomfortable. It's just not their, it's not most people's bread and butter, but I'm not most people. For me, when I see that kind of stuff, I get it. Like, I see these charts and these patterns, and behind that is some sort of human behavior, right? So whenever you're looking at this stuff, this is actual humans thinking in a certain way and behaving with your website in a certain way. So that just clicked with me, and I stuck with SEO over the past 10 years or so. And while I am, my role is actually marketing. So I run marketing. I do have a passion for that. Really, my heart's in SEO. So that's where I spend a lot of my time. And I try to, my favorite thing to do is to teach people and to educate people on SEO.
Yeah. And right there, perfect segue. That's really what we're going to talk about today. I thought it would be a great opportunity to talk about why this presents the best opportunity to go after, all the millennials are calling it a side hustle, or, to launch your passion or your project or something that you've wanted to do. And I think a lot of people might think that this is not the right time because the economy is struggling, because, people won't be buying or for whatever reason. But I think this is a time where, because we might have extra time on our hands, or because, we're at home or we're able to work remotely, we have the ability to launch that side hustle, to launch that thing we've been thinking about doing for a long time. And yeah. I know with your teaching of your SEO and everything that you're so good at, that's why I really wanted to talk to you about doing that now and what you think about that and how you think this time specifically, during this crisis, there lies this opportunity. And I'm curious to know if you timed it for that, if it's just kind of lined up and you're going to be doing this anyways. Just kind of take us on your thought process with that.
To give you a little bit of background, what Jordan's talking about is a training program that I'm building. And this is the result of, honestly, maybe 2 years, 3 years of people pushing me and telling me to do this. It's like, I was probably the last person to believe in myself that I could do something like this. Mainly because I did SEO, I did it for my company. It made sense. It worked for me. I would educate people. I would, when people wanted to know about SEO, I'd crack open their website, dissect the thing and tell them what was going on with it. And people told me that I had a knack for teaching that skill and that I should do something with it. And I just backburnered it, just like a lot of projects. It seemed overwhelming to me. I suffer from perfectionism. So I spend a lot of time criticizing something that doesn't even exist yet. So I had a hard time pulling the trigger to do anything because it wasn't perfectly organized in my mind how it would look or even if it would work. So I kind of paralyzed myself for a couple of years. But just recently, I've changed my perspective a little bit. I talked to a couple tribe members on Chapter. The most recent one I was on in Puerto Escondido before the whole lockdown happened. And I talked to Lauren, who you've had on this podcast, and a lot of Wi-Fi tribers know her, and she's an expert when it comes to course creation. I walked her through just a normal Skillshare that I do with SEO, and she said that's something that I need to be doing in a course version. And I kind of knew that to start with, and I polled people, because I was thinking, do I do a book or do I do a course? And so I just polled everybody on a previous chapter, and they said, do a course. Apparently everybody wants to learn courses. And which is news to me, because I usually don't do courses. I actually learn better from books, but I'm not going to be reading my own book. It's going to be other people reading my book or my course. So I listened to what people told me. People told me you have to do a course. And they said after sitting through some of your SEO presentations, that that's something that you could probably be good at. So I started taking it seriously in earnest back in January. And then really, this was not planned. You asked if this was planned timing. Absolutely not. I mean, this was just 2 years, 3 years coming of me putting something off and then finally putting my foot on the gas and saying that I'm going to do it. And then it just so happens when I was going to do it is when the lockdown happened, right? So I've been at home up in Northern California for the past 10 weeks, just cranking away at this thing. You know, it's just a lot of grunt work. And fortunately, it's all stuff that I know. I'm just kind of pouring out from my head. But it's just a lot of work. It's just getting it done. So I'm about 2/3 of the way done, and hopefully I'll be able to release this thing. I don't know, might be able to hit the go button, meeting up for a drink in Canada. Who knows, man? Maybe a month and a half, 2 months, something like that.
If they open the borders, that'd be great. I think it's really interesting what you said, though, because I know we talk about this a lot, because for everyone who doesn't know, we work together with SEO, because my kind of main thing right now is doing content writing, and Jeff actually helps a lot with SEO for me. I've learned from him, been able to apply a little bit myself from what I've learned. But what I find very interesting about what you said is that you listened to what people said and what people wanted instead of what you wanted, because that's really important, right? And I think that's the same thing as what you do with SEO, because with SEO, you need to follow the science. You need to follow what the data tells you, not what you think it is, right? Yeah. Like you can take a bit of you need a hunch to kind of to begin with, but you need to see if that would be worthwhile, if that's something that you should go down that road. And I think it's similar with creating courses or whatever your side hustle is or whatever the thing you want to launch is. If you want it to be successful and you want to make sure you hit that niche or you serve that target market, you need to listen and hear what the people want. And I think that, I love hearing that you would have made a book but people want courses. And it's kind of like with me when I first started writing CTAs to take people's emails. I'm like, I never leave my email for anything. Like, why would I? Like, I didn't understand the power of that. And it's like, but it's not me. It's what does the data tell you that people want or what they will do?
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of the first things I learned in marketing is really just keep hammering back to the fact that it does not matter what you want. It doesn't, if you're a service provider, if you're a goods, if you produce some sort of goods or something, it doesn't matter what you want. It matters what the market wants. I got a couple examples of this, actually, one of which was I work for a marketing agency, and the CEO did not agree that we were an agency. We didn't want to be branded as an agency for a variety of reasons, you know. But that's exactly what our audience was calling us. That's the exact search phrase that they were looking for when they were looking for what we do. They weren't searching for what we thought we were, right? So what we thought we were doesn't matter. It only matters what the audience thinks that you're about and what they're looking for. So I mean, that happened. There was something else that happened recently that I was trying to think of. I don't know. Maybe it'll come back to me.
What do you think has been, like, I know when you were in that last chapter and you talked to some people and it kind of pushed you in that direction, but, you know, even initially, like, what kind of pushed you towards this? Like, I think a lot of people are in the same boat where it kind of gets put on the back burner, but that seed is planted to begin with, right? And a lot of things that move forward, they were started as a conception anyways, a couple years before, at least months. And then at some point it kind of changes, but along the way, there's a lot of small things that happen. So maybe do you think you could kind of pinpoint a few of those small things, like maybe the first idea and then the first time that it became realistic and the first time you actually put pen to paper or finger to keyboard or whatever
to start creating? Absolutely. Yeah. I can hit you with the inception of the idea and then the actual get my butt in order and get through it moment that happened. I've got two very, very clear moments when that happened. The first one, the idea of doing this, came about because I've got a bit of a chip on my shoulder. Specifically, I'm like a self-hating SEO person, right? Because I view them as the prima donnas of the marketing world.
I've never heard really, that
before. They think that, well, if you meet a couple SEOs that do SEO, they think that they're Hollywood stars. And where it comes from is they think they've got the keys to some black box that nobody else can access, right? Everybody sees SEO kind of like, kind of the same way as if you were to bring your car into a shop and you know nothing about cars, you're just going to assume it's all black magic and that you're just going to hand over your paycheck to them and say, do whatever you need to do, Mr. Boss Man or Woman, because I don't know what I'm doing. And the SEOs treat it the same way. But the problem is two things. One is most SEOs are not that good, and it's because it's a completely unregulated market, very, very young still, and it's kind of the wild, wild west out there. So you get a full range of absolutely terrible to very, very good. And most people fit like in the area where they don't actually do anything. Like whatever the content that they create, the SEO that they do, technically might be right, but it doesn't actually create true results for clients, right? Like it's kind of like checking a box. Like, yes, this is technically SEO and we are technically doing it, but does it actually do anything material for clients? And the answer is primarily no. And it's probably just because it's an unregulated, it's a misunderstood, it's a young market, right? So I've got this chip on my shoulder where I don't want that to continue. I don't want that to perpetuate. And the other thing is that I was really inspired the first chapter I went on, very, very clear moment. I was very inspired the first chapter I went on, which was in Medellin. And I met a few tribers that are experts in their field. There's a dance. There's somebody that did professional dance. There's another person that did professional yoga retreats. And I think it's ridiculous for somebody to be an expert in their field and have something like SEO prevent them from seeing success. And there's one instance where this woman had a website. And there was, she was using Weebly or something, and there was a box that she checked on accident that says no index, which basically means Google will never crawl your page. It was the opposite. Reverse course. She checked index on Google. And this was meant to be a paid page that she thought was gated, that people were giving her money to get to. Meanwhile, it was the most popular page on her site and all of Google. Right? Like she got more visitors to this quote unquote paid page that she was giving away for free for over a year, you know, for a business model. It's really sad to know that you could not check a box or check the wrong box and it'll set you back an entire year just because you didn't know one tiny thing. So my goal is to get this to people in a way that they understand it, that doesn't intimidate them just enough so that they can make their business function. Right, so we've got Wi-Fi tribers that are entrepreneurs that are running their own gig. I want them to be able to do SEO and do the 5% that'll give them 95% of results. This is kind of the way I'm pitching it. So that's why I started it. I've had this enormous chip on my shoulder for a while because of that. And then the get your ass in moment came about after people telling me to do this over and over and over again, but really it came down to organization. Like it was 100% when it had actually happened is when I got organized. You know, I got home from that last chapter and I said, I need a system. I need a really clear system in my brain and a routine that I cannot break that's going to make me do this, right? I've worked very well in like structured settings, right? So I bought this calendar online. It's like a written calendar. And somebody posted a question as to what kind of project management software they like to use. And I answered back a written calendar. Everybody ignored me, but I'm dead serious about it. I use written calendar. And on that calendar, I set a specific target hours that I need to hit towards my projects every single day. And I just check it off a list, basically. So I set up this really nice work environment for myself physically. And I put this calendar in front of me that says, you will do 15 hours per week on this course and check it off at the end of every day. And that way I knew in my head, like, you don't get to play until your work is over, right? And whether that means doing your day job as a CMO and then working 2 hours afterwards or waking up 2 hours early, you just have to get it done. And that's it. And there's really no negotiation. Just do it. And now that I got that rigid police cop mentality in my head yelling at me, I can get it done. And I actually feel a lot more structured. So that was the moment where it was just like, bam, all right, we're moving full speed ahead. That was a tirade, wasn't it? How long ago? Yeah. I'm looking at the counter here. I think you last spoke 5 minutes ago.
I have the same thing. Like I stared at it right now. I have, I write everything out on a whiteboard, for the different projects and stuff with a little square, beside each chunk. And I like to check it off with a marker, with a dry erase. And that's how I like to do it too. I all these calendars and Trello boards and all this stuff. It's just, to me, it's like stress. And that is so simple. And you get the thing done and you check it off. I love it. So I'm with you on that.
Same exact thing. Yeah. There is like something, I think there's something, it's probably studies behind this, but just like feeling it and physically crossing it off a list, almost like it purges it from your brain. You know, there's something to that. It really feels good.
Some people make sound effects. Like there's a lot of stuff to it.
What's your sound effect?
I don't. Some people do. I just take the silent pleasure in the check mark. I love it. But no, in that tirade, I don't think you pinpointed the moments that you, where you kind of conceptualized the idea and then where you put the pen to paper.
Oh, okay. So I guess the conceptualization of the idea was, I said, I'm going to write a book. That's how it started. And I just started writing a book because I said, that's probably the easiest way for me to get the SEO knowledge out of my head and into other people's head. So that just clicked one day. I was like, all right, that's the easiest thing I know. I'm probably a better writer than a talker or a presenter. So I'm just going to start writing it. And I just started writing it one day. And then turns out, like, that's like I told you, that I interviewed people and they said, no, I don't really want to read it. So I said, well, hell, I've got all these chapters already written. And then it's like, well, I could just convert them directly over to slides in a deck or in a in a training course. And so that's what I did for the initial chapters. So it was like a I'm just gonna write a book type of moment. I just sat down and started writing, actually like getting to the point where I was gonna build a course and do that like full time. Honestly, it was the coronavirus. It was the lockdown. I got locked down in my house and I was like, all right, I got to make the best use of this time. I will now have zero FOMO. There's no reason for me to worry about missing out on any chapters. And you've got no excuse other than to just bust your ass. And then once this thing lifts, you'll have that done. You'll be able to go out again.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that's what I had guessed. And that's why I thought you'd be great to talk to about this, because that's kind of like the goal here, showing that this time is a great time to do that. But even furthermore than just now is, like, any time's a good time, right? Anytime you can just kind of quiet those distractions or find that either silver lining or find that time where, all right, things aren't normal, or I have, you know, whatever. Some people have lost their jobs. Some people have a lot more free time, or whatever. You can't go to the gym, whatever the thing is, allows you to have more time to do this. And it's up to you though to then capitalize on that, which is what it seems like you did. You take the time, and you could just watch more Netflix, or you could do the thing that you wanted to do for a long time and just put that little bit of discipline.
It feels good too, man. It feels good having wanted to do this for so long. And then just doing things. I know you. You're a big exercise supporter, workout. You like to work out, and that takes like a strong level of discipline. So I'm sure that you get that just as well as anybody, because you have to, like it or not, like part of discipline is telling yourself that you're going to do this. And then when you do it, gives you a sense of pride and confidence once it's done, right? You push yourself through something that was very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Except for right now, I'm the worst I've ever been because to me, going to the gym is what I love. And the home workouts just don't do it for me. I need to lift heavy weights and, you know, doing burpees and all that kind of stuff in the basement is just not it. That is how I imagine other people feel about going to the gym. Like, to me, that is so mentally hard to get up for, to do. And I mean, I just did one before sitting down to talk to you. And, you know, it's tough. But yeah, like you said, it's pushing through. And I mean, in university, I was kind of forced to do that. Like, we had 6 a.m. mandatory workouts. So for me, even home workouts that are annoying or whatever, they're nothing compared to what we used to have to do. It was horrible. Sure. Like, especially, it was like minus 30 degrees sometimes, and we'd have to be out in the we trained in the Olympic Oval, the place where all the Olympians trained from the Calgary 88 Olympics. And we'd have to be in there. It's freezing cold because there's an ice rink for the figure skating. And it's minus 30 outside, and we're in there. It's like, you know, barely above freezing, and we're running around at 6 in the morning, forced to do things. Like, you can't slack off. It was it built toughness on that end. But kind of like, strangely enough, I found too in this time, because I've started doing some side things too during this time where there's a lot of opportunity, and because, you know, we can't, like you said, there's no FOMO. The gyms aren't open, so you're at home a lot. And with my background in content writing, I've been doing a lot of freelance stuff and been kind of working towards similar things. And it's been really good as far as that kind of purpose and drive. And for me, I haven't felt that since my days of, you know, when I was a student athlete and I had that goal of, like, you know, we want to win a championship or whatever. I haven't really found that that kind of single-mindedness until now, where, you know, doing the content for Wi-Fi Tribe and then doing my own thing with that together to make this kind of like a clear path or vision. And similar to you, it was the pandemic, it was coronavirus, and being forced inside and being forced to take a look at what is going on and to take a break from all the fun. You know, I was in South Africa before, and it was just, it was so hard to work because it was so fun going out and going kloofing and riding on a Vespa. It was like, a real wake-up call. Well, kloofing is the best thing in the world, and I invite you to join me on my next kloofing trip when the world opens up.
Accepted. What is it? I don't know what it is. Sight unseen, I'm taking it.
Okay. It's canyoneering. In South Africa, it's called kloofing. So, yeah, we did it in Suicide Gorge. We basically had to, you jump off of cliffs into water, and then you climb down or slide down rocks, and you go through the whole canyon like that. And it was a 18-kilometer hike with a 3-kilometer gorge run, and we finished off at the end with a 14-meter jump into the water that you had to do to get out of the gorge.
Oh, my God. Incredible. That sounds amazing.
It was like,
you know, I'm kind of mixed. On one hand, I'm feeling just so excited about the future in kloofing. On the other hand, I know it's not just around the corner, so I'm a little bit sad.
Yeah, but I think it's good because, I mean, it's not good. I want this pandemic to be over tomorrow. Yes. But in the sense that creating these things and making sure they succeed takes a lot of work and a lot of focus and a lot of dedication, more than just like 2 months for most people or for most projects. And again, trying to see a silver lining in it, the fact that it's not over tomorrow, that we still are going to be in this at least to some degree for a long time, kind of allows us that opportunity. And again, I would end it tomorrow if I could, no questions asked, like, for sure. But I don't have that power, and it's probably a good thing I don't have that power because I'd probably misuse it. So I'm glad that you can kind of look at the bright side, because that's all we can do. Like, we can only kind of react to the situation. We can't control it. So how do you react? Do you make the most of it, or you just watch Netflix? And I mean, nothing wrong with that. I mean, a lot of people have been working really hard for many years, and if you want to take this time to just watch Netflix, that is cool. Like, I have no problems with that. I'm not getting on anyone's case. I'm not telling anybody they should be doing one thing or another. There's no way. Like, everyone do what you want to do to make the most or to enjoy or get through or deal with the situation. But for those who want or have always wanted to launch their side project or their passion project or whatever thing that's been kind of on the back burner, like you said, like that thing that, you know, never really came out, this is a great time for a lot of people, not for everybody. Some people, if you're working on the front lines or, you know, you're still out there working because you have a job that, you know, you can and requires you to be there in person, you don't have the same opportunity. But for those that do, I just think kind of from what I've seen from you, from what I've experienced myself, it just seems like a great time, a great opportunity.
I just figured if I wasn't going to do it now, there I was never going to do it. This was the perfect opportunity to actually make it happen. So taking positives out of this, there's a lot of positives to take out of this. There really is. I mean, it's a horrible situation, but without any argument, it's a horrible situation. But there are a lot of positive things that are happening that I'm hearing from people. I know there's been positives that have come out of my life. And you mentioned something earlier that stuck with me. You said you hadn't had that single-minded drive since when you were a student athlete. Was it something like that, right?
Yeah. Since sports, like never really in all the jobs I've worked, I've never really had it till now. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I remember when I was sitting down that moment, I said, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to create this course. Lockdown's happening. And I just reflected back on the last time I felt exactly that, you know, that single-minded, just like getting in the zone kind of feeling. And I tried to recreate that entire environment because it went all the way back to, for me, it went back to grade school or maybe, wow. You know, maybe bits of high school. And I was just trying to think, like, how did I get so in the zone and so locked in and organized? And I just basically recreated that whole, like, the way that I sat on my desk, the way I organized things, the way I listened to music when I worked. And I'm with you. It took a while to get there, almost two decades to get back there. But, I found myself as a result of this in a place now where I've got more focus and more drive than I've had in maybe 20 years. So yeah. It's been not fun, but it's been necessary for me, you know?
Yeah. I think that's the key, is that, like, focus and drive, because I've done some things I'm really proud of, I really loved along the way, but it's never been this focus. But I think that's partially because there's always been fun things to do. There's always been people to hang out with. Like, there's a lot of distractions, but not in the negative sense, like a lot of good things, like living life. And I think those should be embraced. And when they're kind of taken away right now, it has presented the opportunity. So yeah, I don't know to what degree it is, the actual like work itself or the situation. It's probably a combination of both, but it kind of, what you said before reminds me of something I heard where you said, you know, there's a lot of positives. I mean, it's a horrible situation, but there's a lot of positives. And when I first went to work in the jungle, and I was talking to a guy who'd been there researching for like 10 years, and I was very curious about malaria because I didn't want to get it. Wow. And I was living in a city my whole life. And he goes, it's not that bad. He goes, I mean, yeah, it's horrible, but it's not that bad. And I was like, that doesn't help me at all. I don't know whether to feel better or worse, because you just said it's two completely opposite things. But that's kind of what this is like. Yeah. It's kind of both things. It's horrible. People are dying. Yeah. The world's on lockdown. But there's so many opportunities and things we can do if we're fortunate enough to be in the situation, because some people aren't. But yeah, I just kind of feel like that, where it's just like a weird thing, just like malaria. Like it's not normal. It's a different way to look at it.
That's a good story. But you read stories and you listen to people talk about how they've never been closer to their families. You know, people are reluctant to hop on FaceTime when they're, you know, in the trappings of their normal busy lives without coronavirus. They're not hopping on FaceTime and having long, drawn out conversations and connecting with family members like they are now. And if not that, you're home with your family members. You know, I've been spending a lot of time with my family. They're right around the corner from me. And I've been spending a great amount of time with them. And I don't do that when I'm traveling, you know, and I love traveling. I love Wi-Fi Tribe, but I also know I like to have fun. And I wouldn't communicate this much with my family. I probably wouldn't have worked on the course to the same degree. So it's been, I guess you said it was a wake up call at some point. It kind of was a wake up call, really, or maybe not a wake up call. I don't know that I necessarily needed that, but it was almost like a reset. You know, kind of hit like a reset button and just put everything on pause for a while. It's like, all right, yeah. Just hard reboot everything. You know?
Yeah. I think that's what it did the most. I think that's the best analogy there is, because it stopped everything. Literally, it stopped everything. And when it stopped, you had to stop with it. And when you're stopped, you can take a look around and be like, you know, what's happening? And again, you can react to it in different ways. You can reflect inside. You can try to distract yourself. You can just rest and relax. Like, there's so many different ways. And I think it kind of reflects where you're at in your life, or where you're at with like how you're feeling, how you reacted to it. You know, given if you all you had to deal with was the stopping. Some people had to deal with loved ones being very sick or dying. Like, that's a totally different thing. That's mm-hmm. much harder, and there's not really any good you can take out of that. But for most people that were part of trying to curb this and try to stop it by being part of the lockdown, just by stopping and taking a look around, you can really see what's happening. Yeah. And one of the things is being able to launch what you've always wanted to do. And, you know, that's really what I want to talk to you about. And I'm glad that I did. And I got to hear a nice tirade, a little bit about SEO. And I'm hoping to get you back on here to have an SEO specific talk, probably when you're done your course.
Yeah.
And you can have something to promote to everybody, which would be good. Thanks so much for doing this. Yeah. And when the borders are open, I'm coming down or you're coming up, one way or the other.
You got it, man. I'll bring the rum.
Yeah. If it's summer, I think you come up. If it's not open till fall, then I'll come down. I think that sounds good.
Okay. That's a pact. You got it.
All right, Jeff. Thanks.
All right.
Yeah. If you want to let everyone know, if you want to let them know like where they will be able to find your course or any of your services or anything, you can let everyone know. Or if you don't want to be found, then you can just tell everyone to not look for you.
Everything's in process right now. The websites, there's nothing to look at yet. The course is 2/3 done. So you don't have anything to look at until I'm thinking maybe July, August or so. But in the meantime, if you want to learn SEO, I do open SEO workshops every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific time, Pacific Standard Time. I also have a podcast called Above the Fold. It's been a little slow as of late, but it is still active, and you can find us there. And I'm normal. I'm the host of Tirades on that one. And then lastly, I've got some, like, if you do want to learn some SEO stuff, I've got some articles published on Moz. So if you look up Jeff Baker Moz, you'll find my profile and then some really long mathy types of articles that do have some takeaways in it, especially for content creators. I'm very interested in working with them. I think that's probably it for now. We might have to revisit that all once everything gets launched off. But
we'll have you on for some SEO specific stuff then, hopefully. All right, yeah, thanks so much. Really, really appreciate it. And talk to you soon.
You got it, man.